A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. The last remark we hear from John might be a little bit more clear if we could know the process that was for many, many centuries or millennia, the way that one harvested and processed wheat. What happened is the wheat was plucked, and the heads of the wheat on the stalks were threshed on a hard packed ground. They were threshed, and the heads of the wheat were placed in a vessel, and a winnowing fan was used to induce a current of air over them so that the chaff, the lightweight garbage, non-useful stuff anyway, the non-edible stuff, would be blown away. So the winnowing fan separated what was good from what was bad, humanly speaking. Jesus and his role, predicted, prophesied by Isaiah, will have this function. He will be a challenge to the nations. His cross will be an instrument of salvation for the world, yet a scandal to many. His claims will put him apart from much of the religious leadership of his day. When he says, "I forgive sins," he scandalizes many. When he overrides the Sabbath laws for deeds of charity, he scandalizes many. But this one that John prophesies is the Messiah, the Holy One of God. And more than that, the very Son of God. John has only an inkling of who and what his cousin is, but the Holy Spirit has spoken to him in no uncertain terms that this is the one that they have awaited for so many generations. He's at hand. Wake up. Repentance, which comes from the baptism of John, is the prerequisite. No one will accept this Messiah unless he realizes his need for one. So repentance, a change of life, a turning point in one's conduct and priorities, is a necessary imperative to receive this one who is to come. John has set himself aside. He does not dwell in the temple. He does not inhabit the cities. He has gone out into the wilderness to focus himself on one thing and one thing only: the preparation of people for the coming of the Holy One of God. And that is what John is about. And he does everything to point somewhere else. We see in the early church, though, there were many followers of John, some of whom came over into the church and some of whom were reluctant to come into the church. This created a tension. But Jesus, after all, is the purpose for John, not the other way around. And his winnowing fan is in his hands. And what he tests us with is the same test that John proclaimed. Listen, be ready to be detached from the dross, from the chaff of your lives, so that you may become useful wheat. Wheat for the grinding, yes, but wheat to feed the world and to feed yourself as well, but only because of Jesus, who himself becomes bread in our midst, who himself feeds us, so that we know who he is and what he is. My brothers and sisters, John is here in the readings for a reason, to remind us of what this Advent is all about. In the midst of the world's exuberant decorations, the mayhem of commercialism, buying and selling, let's remember who and what we are preparing ourselves for, so that he may increase and we, in our insane quest for fulfillment apart from him, may decrease, so that we may be one day all in all with him who is the Savior of the world. Amen.